and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio show. We'll do something a little different this hour. We have Maller to the third degree, the NFL pick'em, and Benny versus the Penny for the balance of the hour. No calls this hour. Marginal handicapping on every NFL game for Sunday and Monday against the spread. We give you all the picks from the NFL. We'll go game by game, tell you who I like, why I like them. The Penny will pick as well. It's coming your way right now in hour number two. You can bet on it. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we chew the fat coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and massively powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from a book, an audio sports book in your ears, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods. And we are going to have something a little different this hour, the triumphant return of the Full Monty. The Full Monty for the rest of the hour. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll start Benny versus the Penny, week 12 of the NFL season. We got off to a good start on Thanksgiving. If you follow Benny versus the Penny, it was on terrestrial radio for 15, 16 years, something like that. We moved it to the podcast that I do, the fifth hour on the weekend, and then we moved it to a YouTube show a couple of years ago, and we came very close to getting this on television, but it fell apart. I blame COVID as my fall guy, but we were actually in negotiations. Can you believe that? How stupid is that? We were in negotiation to put this on TV, but the deal did not happen. COVID shut everything down. So, but it's back on radio, and I'm excited. We're going to do that coming up in a couple minutes. And as far as the beginning of Benny versus the Penny yesterday, we had the Lions. They covered the spread, even though the Bears won by two. We got the Lions at plus three. Even if you got the Lions at plus 2.5, you won the money on that. Some people got the Lions at plus two. They pushed. They did not win the bet. Raiders were 7.5-point underdogs against the Cowboys. We had the Raiders. We didn't think the Raiders were going to win the game, but they did win the game outright, so you didn't even need the 7.5. And then we made the foolish mistake of picking the New Orleans Saints. Bad job by us. And the Saints got blown to smithereens by the Buffalo Bills in the night game, which was a total dud. And somebody had asked me what I thought of Drew Brees as a broadcaster, and I thought he was okay. I thought he was better than some of the turds that have been in the booth. I didn't think he was the greatest thing I'd ever heard. I will find out next week. I'm sure the media critics will start writing stories about how Drew Brees is God's gift to broadcasting, and they can't wait till he does every game. He's doing the Sunday night game. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are off this weekend, so Brees and Tirico will be doing that game as well, from what I understand. So before we get to Benny versus the Penny, though, we have some other business to do. We have to, in a few minutes, we're going to have the NFL pick'em for Sunday, but why don't we get the third degree in right now, and then we will have the NFL pick'em and picking games the rest of the hour. Hit that button there, Chris. Maller to the third degree.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree.
I just said that.
This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
I should also point out, no calls this hour. Caller-free radio for the next hour. I think we only took one call last hour. Bad job by us. But anyway, Ricky is in the hizzy, and he is here producing.
Ben, Colts.
Now, Ricky, let me ask you this now, Ricky.
Yeah.
Does your family get the fact that you work in radio? Because you're a young guy, right? How many years have you been in the business?
Seven.
Has it been seven already?
Yeah, well, 1 year here at
Fox Sports. Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, you've only been here. I don't remember you being here 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, okay, so where'd you work before?
A news station in Los Angeles.
Oh, KNX?
KPFK.
KPFK. What number is that on the dial?
90.7 FM.
Oh, is that like a, that I'm never on that low on the dial. That's where the smart people hang out. I don't go down there. I don't go down that low.
It's a little more serious.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, here you are, Ricky. So you probably worked holidays for years, so that goes out the window. But let's do the third degree right now.
Okay, Ben, Colts defensive star DeForest Buckner asked Tom Brady, playing in his mid-40s, responded by saying, "If I'm playing football at 44, it means I'm broke." Ben, was this a shot at Tom Brady?
No, of course not. Listen, I saw some blowback and people getting very upset that, oh, what are you doing messing with Tom Brady? This is another example, and it's not just the Wall Street Journal who took Aaron Rodgers literally. It's people on online, some media hacks who don't get sarcasm. Of course, DeForest Buckner was joking. His tongue was in his cheek, and that gets twisted around as an insult. The Tom Brady truthers, you cannot rip Tom Brady for... Come on. He's human. I know he might not be human. Maybe he's a lizard person. But Tom Brady's fair game. You can rip Tom Brady. It's allowed. Stop. And B, this is actually a sign of R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect, from DeForest, right? It was a joke. And as the old line goes, there's a little truth in every joke. But it was a respectful comment from DeForest. He's 27 years old, that guy. Very good player for the Colts. And when you're at that age, the idea of doing anything in your mid-40s, it seems like it's a lifetime away. Trust me, it's not a lifetime away. You'll be there before you know it. But that's what that was all about. All right, next.
Okay, Ben, St. Nick Saban went off during a pre-Thanksgiving rant directed at self-absorbed Alabama fans that can't appreciate what they have after a question about not blowing teams out. Ben, what did you make of Saban's aggravation?
All right, so I enjoyed this. In fact, I think we should play this later, time permitting. If not, you can track it down online. I enjoy a good coach's rant. The first thought I have, it was cartoonish, right? He's doing his paid radio show, and some rube is complaining about the Crimson Tide not dominating teams. I'm guessing because that guy bets on Alabama and Alabama doesn't end up covering the spread. And so this becomes problematic if you bet on the game. And Saban, he becomes provoked and he reads this guy the Riot Act. He works himself into a lather. And you could see watching the video of the steam rising out of the top of Saban's head. And he also played the woe is me card. That's my other thought. For his players at Alabama, because the other teams play their best against the Tide. And then he said that, quote, these guys aren't getting paid to play here, meaning Tuscaloosa. That's an outdated take by Nick Saban, because we know that ain't true. All right, the name, image, likeness is here. I am all for that. Good for college sports. Finally, after all these years, that is available. And the quarterback, Bryce Young, is being paid about $1 million to play football for Alabama. So you can't say these guys aren't getting paid to play here. They are getting paid to play at Alabama, and you don't get that kind of money to play football at Fresno State. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't Pop Warner. Next!
Okay, an Eastern Conference assistant coach says he doesn't think Celtics star Jason Tatum cares about winning right now, and if he does, it is on his terms. He doesn't want to score 15 and win. He wants to score 39 and win. Ben, do you think this is made up or real?
So I think this is real. I saw this bouncing around, and I'm not a Jason Tatum hater. I'm kind of neutral on Jason Tatum, but I buy this. And the reason I buy it for the Celtics star is where there are bees, there is honey. All right? If you find bees, you're going to find honey. And this is the second time that Jason Tatum has been called out in a month. His own teammate, Marcus Smart, put him on blast for trying to fatten up his stats and not playing winning basketball, not playing with his teammates. So it's clearly got some legs to it. And secondly, the collective NBA media, some of these hacks on the verge of tears, so disturbed by this quote, how dare you? We love Jason Tatum. He's our hero. And they can't stand his name being sullied. I find that comical. It's amusing to me. Tatum is still making his way in the NBA. He's been around for a few years now. But my experience being around that sport and all sports, but basketball in particular, is that every great young player wants to score and put up stats more than they want to win, with the rare and appropriate exception. Like, winning is always secondary. It's always get me stats, because they pay for stats. They don't pay for winning. You put up great stats, they pay you lots of money. If you are an auxiliary player on a good team, or even if you're a top line player on a good team, they don't pay you. If you put up stats in the NBA, they pay you. And everyone wants to get paid. It's just like in baseball, where they don't pay you to get base hits, they pay you to hit home runs. So everyone swings like a lumberjack trying to hit the ball to the moon. And that's how that goes. All right, there it is, Mallard of the third degree. How did we do, Ricky?
Black Friday pass.
Well, no, you said yesterday it was the Thanksgiving pass. So that clears you clearly think somehow that that was not worthy of a legitimate pass, which I'm offended by. How dare you?
All right, no, anyway. It's legitimate.
Oh, well, thank you. Very kind of you, Ricky. Did you eat turkey for Thanksgiving, Ricky? Did you have the traditional Thanksgiving?
Turkey, ham. I had it all, man.
The whole thing. Look at that. Well, very good. All right, let's go into the NFL pick'em for Sunday and Monday. We are going to pick a quarterback, a running back, a tight end, a wide receiver, and another wide receiver. And whoever gets the most fantasy points will be declared the winner. And then Benny versus the Penny, warming up in the bullpen right now. Benny versus the Penny for the rest of the hours. The late, great broadcaster Larry King famously said back in his days doing an overnight show. All right. I am told this is clearly a mistake, an oversight, but I'm told that Oakley Dokley Do was the winner of the yesterday edition.
I told you, Ben.
Yeah.
With
okay. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Wait. Can I read a tweet that was about you?
Sure. You probably fabricated it, but yeah, go for it.
All right, Terry in England writes in. He says, have I got this right? Brian Finley's family has all moved away from him, gone to Texas, and his girlfriend is on the East Coast. Maybe they are trying to tell him something. Your thoughts, Brian?
You know what? Terry might be up to something. You know, I guess I was so lost in my mind, I didn't even think about that. But Terry brings up a great point, and that's one of those things, Ben, where you got to look in the mirror, and you look back at yourself, and you know what? I am a clown.
Okay, that's the first step of the 12-step program. And what did you have again for Thanksgiving, Brian?
I had ground chicken.
Ground chicken.
With
kale.
Olive oil. I cake it with olive oil, and then I just put in a little bit of kale. And I've done that for two meals today, and that's all I have. Or I'll throw in a big bucket of almond butter.
We don't need to get the full menu. I was just referencing the kale and ground chicken, which is a very L.A., SoCal thing to eat. I ate a hearty pizza. That's what I ate. Oh, yeah, we got to move on. Hey, here we go. Let's get to it, Brian. First pick on the NFL pick'em.
We're going to go with Joe Burrow.
Okay, that's a terrible pick. I finished in second place, but I will take Christian McCaffrey with my first selection. And we move over to Ricky. Ricky.
Jerry Garcia.
Okay, that's a good pick. Back from the dead. All right, go ahead, Chris, the long-suffering Lions fan.
Well, the Lions aren't playing this weekend, so it kind of puts me in a awkward situation.
Puts you in a bind. You can pick former Lions, though.
No. We're going a different way. I'm going to start at wide receiver. Give me Webster Slaughter.
Oh, that's a great name. One of the great names of all time. If he was around today playing, they'd ban his name because it's offensive to say
very
Slaughter.
Very violent, yes.
Yes. What's next, Chris? Who else do you have?
Oh, right. I get back-to-back.
Yes.
I'm going to take my quarterback. I'm going to take Bernie Kosar.
Oh, you're sucking up to Dick and Dayton right there. The Dixer loves Bernie Kosar. His favorite Browns quarterback of all time, Bernie Kosar. All right, Ricky, back to you on the NFL pick'em.
David Bowie.
Okay, that's good. Going music here. I am back up. You can ram it all day. You can ram it all night. Cooper Kupp of the Rams. You can ram it all day and ram it all night. Ryan.
I'm going A.J. Brown, a former Ole Miss Rebel.
Wow. And one more.
Let's go with Tyler Lockett.
Okay, solid pick. I'm going to take Deebo Samuel of the 49ers. Deebo Samuel, 49ers. Back to Ricky on the NFL pick'em.
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix. All right, good pick. Chris, back to back. Chris, long suffering Lions
name
fan.
On air, Curtis Dickey.
Oh yeah. Well, he started Dickey's Barbecue, I think.
That's
he?
Right.
All right, one more.
Oh, right, I get one more. I'm going to take a tight end. I know this is an unusual move. Give me Ozzie Newsome.
Ah, the Oz, the Wizard of Oz. Back to you, Ricky.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, solid name. Solid name in the music business. I am back up. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Give me the Pitts. Kyle Pitts. The Atlanta Falcons is my tight end. Back to Brian Finley, the kale and ground chicken guy.
And a bucket of almond butter. Ben, I forgot. Who won yesterday again? Refresh my memory. I had short-term memory loss.
No one was listening. So I don't. It was Thanksgiving. Who the hell would listen to radio on Thanksgiving?
Okay, so I think it was me. I am going to go with Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry. All right. And one more. Your last selection.
So then I would need one more wide receiver.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's
hurry up. Chop, chop, chop.
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams. All right. I need a quarterback, and I'm going to take another Ram. He's going into Lambeau. He's angry. Back-to-back losses. It will not be three in a row. Give me Matthew Stafford of the LA Rams. And Ricky, your final pick.
Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews, man. Sure. Legend. Chris, the long-suffering Lions fan, your final pick. That's your new nickname, Chris. You don't have a nickname, so you're the long-suffering Lions fan,
Well, that would
Chris.
Require me to suffer and not just treat it with irony. Yeah. Let's see. Let me go with Reggie Langhorn.
Reggie Langhorn, another great old Cleveland Brown.
By the way, if people can like piece together what I'm doing each time, just at me, at Chris Perfett, and I'll let you know if you're right or wrong.
And don't settle for a fake Chris Perfett account, because you are verified.
Mark. I'm special.
Yes, unlike Koopaloop, Eddie, and Roberto, and all the other producers, you are verified.
I'm an important writer about the Detroit Lions.
Yes, you're doing God's work writing about the Lions.
I'm bearing witness to this.
It's sad writing is what it is. All right, we will have Benny versus the Pen. We're going to pick every game the rest of the hour. Here's a question to get you started here. No calls this hour. Which receiver has the worst red zone catch rate among all wideouts with at least 10 targets in the red zone? Again, which receiver has the worst red zone catch rate among all wideouts with at least 10 targets in the red zone? The answer, and Benny versus the Penny next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, this is Ben's favorite, some Christmas music. From peasants to patriarchs, everyone is welcome in the secret society. That is the Maller Militia. Listen live 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. But catch up on shows you missed on demand around the clock via the podcast. Tell your friends and enemies about the virtues of the Ben Maller Show and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio content. And give us a 5-star review. It helps supersize the Maller brand. Now let's get back to a man who finished second to me in NFL Pick'em. It's Big Ben.
Yeah, what we really need is Hanukkah music. We need some Adam Sandler, because Hanukkah starts next week, very early this year. It doesn't start at the same time every year. Christmas, of course, the same day, but Hanukkah, it rotates. So we'll have to get some Hanukkah music in. But it is Benny versus the Penny, picking every game. It is back on terrestrial radio. How exciting is that? Here we go.
Welcome, players.
You're welcome.
Are you up for more Maller mayhem?
Yeah!
It's time now. Benny versus the Penny.
And into an NFL Week 12 we go. Marginal handicapping on every game against the spread. No calls this hour. We will answer the question before we get into the games here. The question we asked, what receiver has the worst red zone catch rate among all wideouts with at least 10 targets in the red zone? That was the question. And what is the answer? Phil McConkey was guessed by Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan. Who else do we have? Tommy Flores from Pull My Finger in Colorado. That was actually last hour's answer. Marky Mark from JDOT. Our guy in Utah, Terry says, is it FSR's only verified producer? Jerry Judy was guessed by Milkman Mike. Colt Seavers and Balky from Perfect Strangers was guessed by Art. Who else do we have? JD and KC says, let's go. Brandon is the answer. Page down, page down. I better get to the answer, or else we're not going to have time for the games. The answer is Van Jefferson of the LA Rams with 27, just 27% catch rate. He's been targeted 11 times. He's only caught 3 of the 11 in the red zone. Let's get to the games. Marginal handicapping for every game against the spread. Zigging when everyone else zags. And we have a motto on this. Good teams win, but great teams cover the spread. And we're 2-1 to start the week. We had the Lions and the Raiders right. We got the Saints-Bills game wrong. We'll start out in the early television window. This is a big game in the early window. Tennessee, 8-3 at New England, 7-4. It's on CBS with Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. And this is one of my five-star picks. Five-star picks of the weekend. The Patriots opened up a 2.5-point favorite. This has gone all the way up to 7. 7! The line I got here, it's at Gillette, temperatures in the 30s, mid-30s at kickoff and going lower throughout the late afternoon there in Foxborough. I'm taking the Titans plus the 7 in this game. I believe this line is inflated. Tennessee lost to a wretched Texans team last week. Patriots had a blowout win. They've been kicking tail the last couple of weeks. The gambler's fallacy is in play here. The public believes they're handing out money, handing out dollar bills. All you have to do is bet a couple of bucks on the Patriots, and they'll win by 8,000 points. I say no. This is also a teacher versus pupil situation. Bill Belichick versus his former player, his protege, Mike Vrabel. And I'm not all in on the Titans, but I think this will be a nip-and-tuck type of game. I expect Ryan Tannehill to play better, the rotation of running backs to be good enough, and we'll see how Mac Jones does. This is his first cold weather game in his life. He's from Florida. He played at Alabama, and so this is his first true cold weather game. It usually takes a little while to get your bearings when you're used to playing in more calm conditions than the cold weather. It's not going to snow or anything like that, but I will take the Patriots to win, but the Titans to cover. Patriots 27, Titans 24, and the penny picks, Ricky. It better not be the Cowboys.
The penny likes the Titans to bounce back in.
All right, so the penny picking the Titans. Next up, we won't spend a lot of time on this game. The J-E-T-S Jets and the Houston Texans, 2-8 versus 2-8. It's on CBS. Spiro Dedis and Jay Feely have the call. Texans a 2.5-point favorite. It'll be in the 60s at the Dome, NRG Stadium there in Houston. And I am taking the Texans here. Mainly, this is a bet against Zach Wilson, who returns. Zach, he might be good, but he ain't good now. He sucks. And not that Tyrod Taylor's God's gift to the quarterback position, but I like the combo of Brandon Cooks running past that wretched Jets defense and Tyrod Taylor connecting at least a couple of times. That should be enough to win this game. I don't normally like betting on favorites, but I'm that down on Zach Wilson. He sucks. And even though the Texans are no good, I will take Houston at home, 24, the Jets 20. And the penny picks!
Penny wants nothing to do with the Jets.
All right, so the penny taking the
Texans.
All right, next up, Philadelphia, 5-6 at the New York Giants, 3-6. It's on Fox. You better watch. Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth have the call here. The Eagles opened a 3-point favorite. They're favored by 3.5 now at MetLife Stadium in Jersey. Sunny temperature at kickoff, 37 degrees, and then, of course, getting colder throughout the afternoon there in Jersey. I am taking the G-I-A-N-T-S Giants. Taking the Giants in this game. Freddie Kitchens takes over. I expect the dead cat bounce here for Daniel Jones. Play a little bit better this week. And this is another example of people overvaluing the Eagles. Eagles have played better recently. They've run the ball very well. They beat up an injury-ravaged Saints team last week. There's no way in this planet, in this world that I live in, that Philly should be a 3.5-point road favorite at this point. That is a reactionary line to the public buying in on Philadelphia. And Philly has gone completely away from the pass, which tells you about Jalen Hurts. So, like, run, Jalen, run. And he only occasionally passes these days. And I expect this to be a typical NFC East game. Close, boring, ugly. In the end, the Eagles, 26, Giants, 23. And that means the Giants get the cover. And the penny picks.
Philadelphia Eagles.
All right. Philadelphia Eagles. All right, we'll pause right there. We'll have the rest of the NFL card here. Here's another question, though. You only have like a, well, with Brian, you have 20 minutes, but normally you only have a minute. But here it is. Blank leads all quarterbacks in times being hurried heading into week 12. Blank leads all quarterbacks in the times they have been hurried. The defense has pressured them so much that they've been hurried to make a throw heading into week 12. Fill in the blank quickly at Ben Maller on Twitter. But right now, we'll pause Benny versus the Penny. Over to the news desk we go. The kale and ground chicken, man.
Yes, and almond
and
butter.
Else?
And almond butter.
Almond butter.
Yes.
What a diet. What a
isn't
diet.
That something?
The diet of champions.
Exactly. It's funny how you have the pizza, Ben, then you probably won't eat for another 2 days because of the fasting that you do.
No, I'll eat tomorrow, but I'm eating one meal tomorrow, and then that's it, and then... Yeah, I didn't eat on Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm good. Thanks for being concerned about that.
Very concerned about it. And the Bills certainly were concerned about the trajectory of their team, but they got some optimistic news after their 31-6 victory. They're back on the right path, taking down the Saints on Thursday. Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, 23 of 28 through the air, 4 touchdown tosses. 2 of those went to Dawson Knox, his tight end. He's got 7 catches in the end zone this season.
I know you're his agent. Okay, I understand that because he went to the right college, so you're a fan of his.
Just adding a little bit of context, Ben, to
we don't have time. Hurry it up.
The Raiders slashed the Cowboys 36-33 in overtime. Daniel Carlson booting in the 29-yard field goal. Dallas 166 penalty yards. And of course they were playing a little bit empty-handed with some of their top receivers out. The Bears get the job done against the Lions 16-14 as Detroit now has 15 losses in a row. Of course, that's dating back to last season. In college football, number one, Ole Miss. Or excuse me, number one.
You're taking this to new levels here with your homerism.
That is a Freudian.
Fair and balanced, Brian Finley.
Exactly. That is a Freudian slip. Number nine, Ole Miss sticks it to Mississippi State, 31-29. Puts the Bulldogs in their place. Sam Williams had 2 big sacks. And then 2 scores from college basketball. 6th-ranked Baylor. Of course, they're the defending national champ. They rip up VCU 69-61. Matt Mayer 15 points, 6 rebounds. And then the pride of Kentucky in Louisville, Rick Pitino, now running things at Iona, has a little juggernaut going here because he stunned his Gales number 10 Alabama 72-68, Ben. And as I send it back to you, Alabama did not make it to the postgame press conference. They avoided it because they had a long talk in the locker room. I know you as a media member don't like that when coaches try to steer clear of the scrutiny.
That's a coward because you know if Alabama won, they would be out there with bells and whistles on. Look at us!
Yes.
Kiss our ass! We won a game! And then if you lose, you go hide like Baker Mayfield, that loser.
Exactly.
Anyway, alright, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on, chopping the overnight hours down, and we get back to Benny versus the Penny, but first... Blank leads all quarterbacks in times being hurried heading into week 12. Just Josh mentioned the aforementioned Baker Mayfield. Midnight Walker says Brian Finley's uncle Ned Flanders is the answer. Who else do we have? Page down. Can't read that on the air. All right, let's just move on here. Vince Ferragamo from Rob in Minnesota. The answer is Kirk Cousins. 54 times the Vikings quarterback has been hurried, which is stunning considering the stats that he has put up. Kirk Cousins, the answer. Back to the games we go on this return to terrestrial radio for Benny versus the Penny. Tampa Bay at Indianapolis on Fox. Kevin Burkhart, Greg Olson, Bucks opened a 3-point road favorite. They are still a 3-point road favorite from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. Another game where temperatures will be in the 30s, but it's a dome, so who cares? Colts are the pick in this game. Now, most think this game comes down to the Bucs defense being able to slow down Jonathan Taylor. And I say no. If Frank Reich knows what he's doing, and I think he does, this game will come down to Indy's ability to pass the ball because that is the weak link in Tampa's defense. They're secondary. They do not defend the pass very well. Carson Wentz, this is your week to be the rock star. He needs to step his game up here. I believe he will. And Tom Brady, the Goaty McGoat, has not been the same player on the road. He's the second best quarterback in the NFL at home this year. But on the road, Brady is the 18th ranked quarterback. He's had some real stinkers like he did against Washington a couple weeks ago. I guess the old bones don't travel well. Colts 34 and the Bucks 30 and the Penny picks.
Tom Brady and the Bucks.
All right. Penny disagrees with me. Next up, Atlanta. Won't spend a lot of time on this game. Atlanta 4-6 and Jacksonville 2-8. It's on Fox. Kevin Kugler and Mark Sanchez have the call. Falcons, this game open to pick them. Falcons a 2.5-point favorite. And this is a game I will not be betting, but we pick every game against the spread. I'm going to take Jacksonville here at TIAA Bankfield, the house that Angry Bill built but doesn't go to. Temperatures in the low 60s in Jacksonville at kickoff. This is an even matchup. Last 3 weeks, the Falcons have the 31st ranked offense. Jacksonville has the 30th ranked offense. And a fun fact, Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been banged up with an ankle injury, not sure if he's going to play or not, have to see the injury report, which comes out later on Friday. We don't know for sure at this point. He's hopeful of making his return. But check this out. Atlanta has scored 0 points the last 7 quarters without Cordarrelle Patterson. And he is not a guarantee to play. The Falcons right now suck at blocking and tackling, which are somewhat important. And Matt Ryan looks as washed up as he can be. So this is a winnable game. And I'm taking Jacksonville as a small home dog. Jags 19, Falcons 16, the final. And the penny picks.
Jags.
Jags. All right, next up, Carolina at Miami. It's on Fox. Chris Myers, part of the Fox Sports Radio Alumni Association, and Daryl Moose Johnson, the old cowboy before you were alive in the 90s. The Carolina Panthers, 5-6, Miami 4-7. Carolina opened a 1-point favorite. They are a 2-point favorite in this game. Mostly sunny, temperatures in the 70s at Hard Rock Stadium, just down the street where Weed Man Hippie is begging for money. I am going to take the Miami Dolphins in this game. Tua Tagovailoa has actually been the better quarterback recently. Dolphins have been plotting to change quarterbacks, and Tua, the last 2 weeks anyway, is coming to his own. Will that continue? Will he come crashing back down to earth? The Dolphins have a path. This is a pivotal game if they want to get back to 500. They're 4-7 now. Miami, if they win this game, they get to 5-7. They play the Giants, who blow, the Jets, who suck, and the Saints, who are trash right now after this game. So the path is there, but Miami's got to win this game. I believe they will. I also don't trust Cam Newton. Dolphins 23, Panthers 20, the final. And the penny picks.
Penny likes the Panthers.
All right, Penny likes the Panthers. Next up on Benny versus the Penny. If it sounds like I'm hurrying through this, I'm not. We have a lot of games to get to, though. Pittsburgh, 5-4-1 at Cincinnati, 6-4 on CBS. Kevin Harlan will be screaming into the CBS broadcast microphones, and Trent Green will be there as well, the man that opened the door for Kurt Warner. And I am going to take the, well, let me give you the line first. The Bengals are a 4.5-point favorite. They opened at 4, Paul Brown Stadium. Again, like most of these games in the upper Midwest and the Northeast, temperatures in the 30s. This is an outdoor stadium. Take that for what it's worth. Two cold weather teams. I'm going to take the Bengals here. I normally take the underdog, and Mike Tomlin's been great as a dog in his career. They covered last week Pittsburgh against the Chargers. But I just think Cincinnati has too much firepower here, and it's going to be pitch and catch between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and the Steelers will be overmatched. Although it appears Minka Fitzpatrick's going to come back and possibly T.J. Watt. Cincinnati won the first matchup. I believe they win this matchup as well. Ben Roethlisberger will not be able to keep up, and I'll take the Bengals 28 and the Steelers 23, the final. And
Penny likes the Bengals.
All right, Penny likes the Bengals in that game, so we agree on that. And as far as the late television window, we'll do one of those late games. The Chargers, 6-4 at Denver, 5-5 on CBS. This is a Greg Gumbel game with Adam Archuleta. Chargers, a 2.5-point road favorite. They open at 2.5 at Empower Field at Mile High. Temperatures in the 60s in Denver on Sunday, and I am going to take the Broncos. I don't trust the Chargers back-to-back here. The strength of the Broncos defense with Vic Fangio is the blitz. The weakness of Justin Herbert is going against the blitz. In two games against Vic Fangio last year, Herbert had 2 interceptions. He averaged less than 7 yards per attempt and a very mediocre passer rating. So I expect more of that type of Justin Herbert in this game. I'm really betting on the Broncos defense, even though the names have changed. They still have a top 10 defense, and Teddy Bridgewater will play a clean game. But really the key here is the Bronco running game. That's the weakness, the Chargers run defense. So I expect a lot of ex-Charger Melvin Gordon to come back haunting the Bolts in this game. Chargers will lose the game. Broncos 27, Chargers 26. And the Penny picks.
Penny likes Herbert and the Chargers.
All right, we'll pause for the cause here. Here's the Insta trivia. There have been five players that have had 10,000 rushing yards, 4,000 receiving yards, and 90 touchdowns in NFL history. Blank is the only one of those players not to make the Hall of Fame. Again, there have been five players in the 10,000 rushing yard, 4,000 receiving yard, and 90 touchdown club in NFL history. Blank is the only one of those players not to make the Hall of Fame. That's the Insta trivia. The answer next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 out of 5 nocturnal listeners to sports radio choose the Ben Maller Show to combat insomnia. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your help to grow the Maller Militia. Now let's get back to a man who was ecstatic to have Christmas music playing throughout his shows all month long and leading up into the new year. It's Big Ben.
Well, I am the Grinch, so you know I enjoy it. Here's the payoff on the Insta trivia, and then we'll get back to Benny versus Penny. We got 4 games left to handicap on the NFL card, but here's the question. There have been 5 players that have had 10,000 rushing yards, 4,000 receiving yards, and 90 touchdowns or more in NFL history. Blank is the only one of those players not to make the Hall of Fame. That's the Insta trivia. What is the answer? And the answer's flying in here, Tori Wilson, guessed by Rob in Vegas from the wrestling world. Let's see, Paige Down, Matt the Warrior Raider Ace fan cheating, got it right. The Dick in Dayton burner account says Halle Berry is the answer. Who else? Paige Down. Biceps is guessed by Sean in the Valley of the Sun. Herschel Walker's biceps from Sean. I didn't see that. You got to put that in the same message. Bad job by you. LL Cool J from J Dot in Utah. Brian, do you have an answer, Brian?
Sean Alexander.
That is absolutely incorrect. The correct answer, you know who it is? Obviously, you don't know who it is because you gave that answer. The correct answer is none other than Ricky Waters. All right, here we go. Back to it. Benny versus the Penny. Minnesota 5-5 at San Francisco. They play in Santa Clara. 5-5. It's on Fox. Kenny Albert, friend of the Maller Militia, and Jonathan Vilma have the call. The Niners, a 3-point favorite in this game. They opened at 2.5. I am taking the Purple People Eaters at Levi's Stadium in the temperatures in the mid-60s at kickoff. In this game, I love me some Kirk Cousins. He's the only quarterback this season to rank in the top 10 in completion percentage, passing yards, passing touchdowns, fewest interceptions, and passer rating. And the 49ers here could be getting Elijah Mitchell back. He's had a injured finger. They have won back-to-back games, but I believe they come crashing back down to earth this week. This is a key NFC game for wild card purposes. Both these teams with the same record. It'll be nip and tuck like all Viking games. I love getting the Vikings and some points. I'll take Minnesota 27, San Francisco 24. The Penny picks.
Vikings and the points.
All right, next up, the LA Rams 7-3 at Green Bay, 8-3 on Fox with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You know they're very excited after work 2 games this weekend. The Packers opened up a 1.5-point favorite. The Rams are favored by 1. Temperatures in the 30s. No snow at Lambeau Field. This is actually a game I was trying to get to, but it didn't work out logistically, so I'm here doing radio. I'm going to take the Rams in this game. Aaron Rodgers battling a toe injury. Played pretty well despite that injury against Minnesota. The Packers' run defense is pretty weak here, so the Rams should be able to run the ball a little bit with Henderson. And that pass defense is also battle-scarred, so I expect Matthew Stafford to bounce back. He's had a week to rest up that aching back of his, and the last 2 weeks he's been terrible. Before that, he was the leading candidate for the MVP award, Matthew Stafford. I expect OBJ to score a touchdown this week. The Rams, 26, Packers, 23, the final, and the penny picks.
Rodgers and his toe.
Yeah, screw the penny. All right, next up, Sunday Night Football, Cleveland at Baltimore. It's on NBC. Mike Tirico and Drew Brees in Al Michaels and Collinsworth. I'm told they have the weekend off. Ravens open to 5.5-point favorite. They're favored by 3.5. Lamar Jackson expected to be back and ready to go here at M&T Bank Stadium, the house that sports with Coleman built. Had a mystery illness, missed the Bears game last week. Not that Lamar Jackson's been particularly good this year, but he's actually been better than Baker Mayfield, who sucks. Last 4 weeks, Baker Mayfield completing less than 60% of his passes for 6.7 yards per attempt. And I expect more misery for the Brownies. I'll take the Ravens to win this game 24-17 over the division rival Browns. And the penny picks.
Ravens to cover.
All right, last game, Monday Night Football. Seattle 3-7 at Washington. The team to be named later, 4-6 on Monday Night Football with Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick at that small channel in Bristol, Connecticut. I think it's called ESPN. Anyway, FedEx Field, temperatures in the 30s. Washington favored by 1. Seattle originally favored by 3.5. I like me some Ron Rivera here. Washington's played much better recently. Taylor Heinicke, the last 2 weeks, has been amazing. I say he can do it for 3 weeks in a row. Seattle is a disaster right now. Russell Wilson looks like he's still hurt. I'll take Washington 30, Seattle 23. Penny picks quickly!
Seattle bouncing back.
Seattle. All right, so penny picks Seattle. We got all the games in with no time to spare.